Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mod Hotep to everyone. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course, you are in tune to our weekly broadcast. But tonight we are trying something a little different, so hopefully it will work out okay. We are looking to... We're looking to do our program tonight via Zoom also. So this is the first time we've attempted to do this, so definitely bear with us. Give me one moment. I'm going to plug it. Okay, here we go. So, again, we are trying something a little different tonight, and it is, again... with Zoom. So I'm getting everything set up. So just bear with me for one moment, family, and we're going to get this thing moving. Okay, there we go. All right, so we do have our sister Julia Wright. I see her on. So we are going to give folks a few moments to come in, and then we are going to begin. Hold on one moment, and there we go. All right, Brother Lumumba Uncased is in queue as well. And so, again, we're just going to give folks a few more moments to come in. And then we're going to get right into it. All right, family, it's very good to see all of you tonight. We looks like we're okay. I see folks on blog, and you are our regular folk. If you would like to join us on Zoom, you can just text me at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. And we will move forward with, you know, although we will send you the link. Brother Lumumba, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
All right, very good. Okay. And it looks like folks on our blog can also hear as well. And we do have Sister Julia with us, and so we're going to get ready to get into it in a few moments. Before we do, let me check something. Oh, wow, okay. Looks like my phone is having problems with keeping the charge here, so I'm going to have to redo that, it looks like. But at any rate, let's see, caller, we're going to go to a caller real quick while we're waiting for folks to come in. If there's any information that you all want to share, you can certainly feel free to do so now. You can press 1, and I will bring you into the blog to begin the conversation. Okay, we have people coming in now. That looks like Sister Jacqueline is getting ready to join us. Yep.
Greetings.
Greetings, my sister. How are you this evening? All right.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, now let's move to, hold on one moment. Okay, we're going to go to our blog for a few moments and give folks a few more minutes to come into the Zoom room. And so let's see, caller, you are at 6825, we're going to open up your mic. Welcome to this segment of New Day. And if you have something you'd like to share with us, we certainly would give you this opportunity to do so. 6825, your mic is open. Okay. 6825. All right. Let's try 1-5-7, 6-1-5-7. Your mic is open.
Hey, sis. Assalamu alaikum. This is Jalil Muta King.
And, oh, go Jalil.
Greetings.
Greetings.
That was Sister Julia,
and,
brother.
I hear what you say.
That was Sister Julia that just greeted you.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, I want to speak about a couple of things. Just had a time to do so.
Yes, yes. Okay, very good. So we're going to give you the opportunity to share with us. There's an event coming up on Tuesday, I believe. And so if you'd be so kind, you could share that.
Yes, yes, yes. We are establishing what's called 13 Forward. You know, I work for an organization called Citizen Action. And Citizen Action is developing a campaign, a statewide campaign to end what we call incarcerated workers being abused by virtue of forced labor in New York State system. And so we are going to have a launching of 13 Forward on July, on December 4th. And we are asking anybody who have incarcerated persons, December 6th, anyone who has incarcerated persons who have been impacted by incarceration to join us in this campaign. One of the things that we want to try to achieve in this campaign is have two bills passed into law. Two bills is already established in the legislature. One is to end compulsory labor for people who are incarcerated. And the other is to essentially provide them the capacity to, again, minimum wage inside these institutions, these penal institutions, which we all know is a slave institution based upon the law. And so what we're trying to do is change the law in this regard. And I think we can do it if we can build the basis in our communities, receive from all those who have been impacted at some time or another with incarceration. Which we all know, again, and I have to say this a second time, is a slave system based upon the law. And so this is what our goals and objectives are. And on December 6th, we'll be at Foley Square at 11 o'clock. And I'm asking all those who, again, have been impacted by the incarceration system to join us at Foley Square.
All right, very good. Brother Jalil, is there a number, telephone number or email address that people can connect with you if they want to get more information or want to contribute? Excuse me.
Yes, yes. They can contact me at jmuntakim, M-U-N-T-H-U-I-M, at citizenactionnewyork, or ny.org.
Okay, one more time, please.
Okay. That's jmuntakim at citizenactionny.org.
Sister Julia, did you want to say a few words to Brother Jalil?
Well, I don't know if you can hear me, but Brother, what you said at the Mumia Health Committee was just awesome, and we're still talking about it in the committee. So gratitude to you, and keep on keeping on. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Julia. I really appreciate the kind words. We all share in our part in doing what best we can and contributing to our overall struggle. As you well are, and for the years that you have been contributing to our struggle as well. So kudos go to you too, my sister.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
Excuse me. If I can interrupt for a second, it's a little bit hard to hear the audio from our brother, so I'm not sure if it's his line or the audio on our end, or as far as from the broadcast itself, I'm not sure exactly, but it's a little bit difficult to hear some of the audio.
Okay, I'll try another one and see if it's on my end or if it's from my brother. Brother Jalil, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you as well. Have a wonderful program.
Thank you. All right, family, so we're going to try another line to see if it's me or if it was Brother Jalil's line. So let's go back to caller at 6825. 6825, we're going to open up your mic again to see if we can kind of gauge the audio. 6825, your mic is open. Can you hear me? Wait, we just lost that person. Okay, let's try again. Okay, let's try. Okay, caller at 7169, can you open up your mic for a moment? We just want to gauge to see if we're able to hear you. Okay, Brother Jaleel's coming in on Zoom, y'all. Okay, there he is. Okay, we have him on Zoom. Great. Thank you, Brother Jaleel. All right, family. So listen, we're going to get ready to get started. And we'll wait and let people come in the meantime. We do have Sister Jackie in as well. And so, again, we're going to give folks the opportunity to come into both the Zoom as well as the blog. We have both of them going on, so okay. All right.
You know, Sister Jackie, though.
No, we have Sister Jackie. She's back.
No, she's okay. There.
Okay, so listen, let's do this. Can we go back to Brother Jaleel for 1 minute? Because I think you said we were having difficult hearing him on the blog. So maybe we can just bring him back for a moment to just recap so that we can get a clearer audio. Can we try that?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, my brother.
Yes.
Yes. Ron, do you want me to start from the beginning?
That'll be fine, if you would, please.
All right. At December 6th, I'm going to be down in New York City at Times Square at 11 a.m. for the purpose of representing a Citizen Action New York campaign to end compulsory labor in New York State prison system. There are two bills pending in regards to this matter, and we're going to try to get these bills enacted. One is to end compulsory labor in the New York State prison system, and the other is to try to get brothers inside and sisters inside to have minimum wage for their labor. As we all know, the penal system in this country is a slave system based upon the law, particularly the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution. It informs that. But there are other cases like Rutherford versus Commonwealth and North Carolina versus Jones, but each stated that prisoners are slaves of the state. That's the law. That's what it says. That's how they're being treated as such. And so for us here, particularly in New York State, with an organization called 13 Forward, which Citizen Action is a part of the coalition of 13 Forward, on December 6th in Furley Square at 11 o'clock, we'll be gathered to launch the 13 Forward campaign. And again, the purpose of the campaign is to have two legislations pending in the legislature enacted into law. One would end compulsory labor in the New York State prison system, and the other would try to ensure that brothers and sisters inside prison get minimum wage for their labor and effectively end penal slavery in New York State. Please join me. Anyone who's incarcerated or has been impacted by incarceration, right? And many of us have in our community, right? Please share with them to join us on December 6th at Foley Square at 11 o'clock, launching the 13 Forward campaign. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, my brother. And also, Brother Jaleel, if you would be so kind for those that may not know who you are, I'm sure that's not many, if any, but could you just share a little bit about you, if you would, please, my brother?
Yes, I can, and I'll try to be as modest as I would like to be. All right?
Yes.
I am a third member of Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army. In 1971, when I was convicted of charges pertaining to killing of two police officers and other activities of the Black Liberation Army. And I was held in prison for 49 years. And while I was in prison, I continued to organize and establish the Jericho Movement for prisoners, myself, Baba Herman Ferguson, and Sister Sophia Bukhari. Unfortunately, they both have our ancestors now. And Jericho Movement has been in existence
over 22 years fighting in behalf of political prisoners in the United States and in other parts of the world. I'm also author of two books, We Are All Liberators and Shaping the Prison Faced Black. In each of these books, I expound upon the issues of our struggle for the last 500 years in the United States. Are instrumental and inspired to the level of the International Tribunal that on October 25th, International Tribunal, 19 jurors at International Tribunal found the United States guilty of 5 charges of genocide. This was historic, and also historic by virtue of 70 years for the first time genocide was charged against the United States by the great W.D. Du Bois and William Patterson and
Paul Robeson.
And Paul Robeson, the magnificent Paul Robeson. And that was in December 17th, 1951. And so 70 years later, we were able to build a campaign, have international jurors come to the United States and hear a tribunal testimony. And by virtue of their verdict, I had found the United States guilty of genocide. And so that's just part of the history and things that I've been involved in, both inside and outside of prison. I continue to do the work. Right now I work for Citizen Action, a statewide organization, who is a nonprofit, but they do good work. If anyone will learn how to get involved in organizing Citizen Action, in the process of how they teach in terms of organizing, they're very good at that. And they try to do the best they can to serve the issue confronting New York State.
All right. Thank you, Brother Jalil. Brother Mumba, did you have a question for Brother Jalil or anyone else? Question or comment?
Well, I'll yield the floor until later.
All right, great. All right. Brother Jalil, thank you so much again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, family, listen, we're going to go now to our conversation with Sister Julia Wright and, of course, Sister Jacqueline Wade. We have both of them in queue. And before we go to Sister Julia, just want Sister Jackie to introduce herself and what she does. And Sister Jacqueline, thank you so much again for joining us yesterday on Brother Shamari's program. It's not open. We're not hearing you. Uh-oh. Sister Jackie, your mic, you might need to unmute because we're not hearing you. Nope, still not hearing you.
Yeah, I don't see her mic muted, but the audio is not coming through. But the mic appears to be unmuted, though.
Right. Sister Jackie, we cannot hear you. Okay, I don't know what the problem is. Maybe she will go out and come back in.
Okay,
let's... Nope. Okay, try... Okay, she'll come back in.
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, we'll do this. We'll get ready to go to Sister Julia, and we'll come back to Sister Jackie in a few moments. Before we do, let me go back to our blog. Blog family, hey, how are you? I know you can't see us, but you can hear us. If you want to go to the Zoom so that you can see us, you can just text us at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802, and we will send you the link. Or you can also email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, we have Sister Jackie back. Let's try again. Yeah, we can hear you now. Okay, great. All right. All right, my sister, if you'd be so kind to just share a little bit about you before we go to Sister Julia. Go ahead.
Okay, basically, I'm part of the Lumia Asia Mall Health Committee. I basically organize it, and I worked with Dr. Ricardo Alvarez, Mama Julia, and a whole bunch of fabulous other people. We meet every other week. We also have what we call town hall meetings. We have political, ex-political prisoner Jalil Montekin. We have Laura Whitehorn, and plan to have others. Our basic mission, I went over that the last time, is basically we look out for the health of Mumia Abdul-Jamal. And we are a committee of letters and allies. My main thing that I do is I make giant puppets, and one of the puppets that I've made is a giant 18-foot puppet of Mumia Abdul-Jamal, which will be at the event with Sister Falais on the 10th at the UN, and we're going to be bringing another puppet for his court hearing on December 16th. So I deal with puppetry. I'm an artist and an activist and a filmmaker.
All right. Ashe. Oh, thank you, Sister Jackie. And again, thank you for joining us yesterday for Brother Shamari's program. It was powerful.
Thank you.
All right. Well, family, listen, I hope you all are ready, because we're getting ready to really hear some not only powerful and wonderful information, but it's always good to reconnect with our sister, Julia Wright. We're going to talk about a couple of things. Of course, Mumia Abdul-Jamal, as Brother Jalil mentioned earlier, and as we've been talking about in the past couple of weeks, Mumia's new court date is December 16th, and we want to be ready as much as possible to bring as much attention, as much energy to this December 16th. This is a very, very important time period. And we want you all to get ready to be able to write down some information, because we want to make sure that we give you the judge's phone number and email address and other things, because we want folks to send letters and send messages to the judge encouraging her to do the right thing, as you're going to hear some of the children are going to be doing. And Sister Julia is going to share that with us very, very shortly. Who are these children? Why are they connecting with us? Why are they connecting with Mumia? Why are we now asking other educators and parents and facilitators of groups and organizations that work with children? Why are we encouraging them to also now join in on this national campaign to free all of our political prisoners? So without further ado, family, I want to introduce to you one of our sisters, our international freedom fighters. She's a journalist, of course, a human rights activist and advocate, and involved in United Nations activities. Hopefully she'll give us a brief report on some of the updates on some of the recent meetings with that. But also, of course, again, a writer in her own right, and with that, also the daughter of Richard Wright. But at any rate, we're talking about Julia Wright is with us, joining in from Europe. And Julia, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. But before we begin, I just want you to share, and then, you know, we're just going to go right into it. What inspired you? Now, we met, of course, you came to the U.S. and spoke at the original Million Woman March in 1997. So we've been connected ever since. But with that said, why for all these years have you been fighting diligently for Mumia?
Because Mumia is us, and we are him. He is being erased like we are being erased. He is being disappeared like we are being disappeared. They're trying to drive his voice underground like they are trying to drive our voices underground. So it was a no-brainer, or rather, I don't like the word no-brainer. It was a no-soul-er. how could we not? But it was like breathing. It was like breathing. And, you know, Sister Filet, it takes me back to George Floyd and to the fact that they're trying to erase what happened to him as well. I mean, there's a whole enterprise out there trying to wipe out what happened that day, those 9 minutes and 29 seconds. And I, after George Floyd, reread Black Boy, my father's memoir of his childhood in the South, where when he went hungry, dirt poor, he would eat lard and dandelions that he could find in the grass. And rereading Black Boy after George Floyd was a real experience because I discovered another book. In chapter 2, I realized, and I'm not ashamed to say it, mea culpa, I had a lynched great uncle. But I had read about it before, but it hadn't sunk in. It is the ordeal of George Floyd that made me realize that my flesh had been lynched as well. So having reread that chapter 2 of Black Boy and these words of my father, he was 9 years old, and he says to his mother, but why had we not fought back? And his mother, because she's so afraid, slaps him into silence. And I read that chapter 2, and I say to myself, I have to investigate this. So I get in touch with Elaine, where the lynching took place, and I discover Elaine, Arkansas, a place I had hardly ever thought of. And I discover the marvelous people living there, the Elaine Legacy Center, the people who are now so poor because in 1919 their land was robbed, was stolen from them by the white supremacists. So I partnered with the Elaine folks, and over the period of a year and a half, we worked hard to get Silas Hoskins, who had been lynched there, to be recognized as the lynch victim by the National Lynching Museum, Brian Stevenson. And last November, Brian Stevenson wrote to us to say he was recognizing Silas Hoskins. And this is where I discovered the children. I didn't know they existed. I couldn't travel to Elaine for the soil collection because what happens is when you have a relative in the family who's been lynched, there is a soil collection at the site of the lynching. The soil is put into a memorial jar, and the jar is delivered to the lynching museum by the relatives into the hands of Brian Stevenson, comes in exhibit at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
My problem being, I'm an elder, I'm 80, almost 81, and for medical reasons, I couldn't travel. And so I could not, and that was very painful spiritually, not to be able to put my hands on the soil where a member of my family was lynched. And that is where the children come in. They, in the Elaine, chose the 12 children of the descendants of the 1919 massacre collect the soil of Silas Hoskins. And some of us were able to watch the ceremony by Zoom. And it was like watching another generation enabling us to mourn. I have no words for it. It was so, moving doesn't express it. It was just such a defining moment for my family and for those who watched it. We were editing a video of it. So watching those children doing what they did, I said to Elaine, they must be the ones to carry the jar to Brian Stevenson. And so I just enabled them to do that. They went to Montgomery, met Brian Stevenson, handed the jar. Then Uvalde happened. And I wrote to Elaine and I said, I'm adopting those children spiritually. I know they have parents, but I'm never going to let those children leave my life. And the realization, and I wrote it down for you, and I'll read it. The realization came that we had to connect the children of Elaine, of Rosewood, of Tulsa, of Move, and so many other unmapped Black genocidal rehearsals, because they carry the echoes of our past, and they are the future growers of our robbed land. So that's the children, their importance. They're our future, but very deeply so. Now, how did they come to Mumia? That was part of my adopting them. I taught them who Mumia was via Zoom. And they related to Mumia immediately because as Mary Olson, the head of the Elaine Legacy Center, wrote, all have Mumias in their lives. They all have somebody they know who is in prison and who they know is wrongfully convicted. And when I told them about Mumia, they said, is that okay?
Yeah, you're okay. You're okay, Julia.
Okay. When I told them about Mumia that night on the 9th of December, one of them piped up and said, oh, he was just driving while Black. You know, they really tune into the story. So that's the story of the children.
Wow. Wow. Gotcha. Okay, so let's go back for one moment, because I'm sure there are people who don't know about what's known as Red Summer, but specifically what happened in Elaine, Arkansas. Could you just kind of give us a little bit of insight into that, Julia, so folks can really have a better understanding of what we're talking about when it comes to the horror that this town, our people experience, and the injustice as it pertains to land and black farmers. So we know it today, but let's just go back a minute to 1919 and just see, you know, how we're seeing today what has been going on for centuries.
Mm. Yes. Well, you know, this is suppressed history. You know, we talk about the massacred bodies being buried, but our history is being buried. We have to exhume our history. And this is history we never get to study in our school. I certainly never studied that massacre. Nor did I study any of the other massacres. I admit that I'm still learning about it. What I've found out is absolutely horrific. And we can understand why they're suppressing it. There were a certain number of things that happened that summer. First of all, black soldiers were coming home from World War I. They were fighting for freedom and equality, except that they went home to lack of freedom and racism. So that was a irony that was not lost on them. But they had acquired military knowledge. There was also the fact that the price of cotton had risen that summer. There was also the fact that in Arkansas and around in the South, there was trade unionizing amongst black farmers and sharecroppers. But what is less known and also suppressed is that there was black ownership in Arkansas, in the Black Belt of Alabama, in northern Florida, all across the South. There was beginning to be real black ownership. And why is this fact suppressed today? Why is it being bleached out of our narrative? Because of our call for reparation.
Mm. Yes.
So we have to put that back into our narrative, that black land ownership was real, was one of the main reasons why the white supremacists started mobilizing against us back in 1919. And in that sense, my great uncle, Silas Hoskins, was a canary in the mine shaft. Because in 1916, why was he lynched? Because he was the owner of the land on which his bungalow stood, of the land on which his prosperous saloon stood, and of the land on which he built many houses in Elaine, which he rented out to sawmill workers. So the white in and around Elaine, I'm not sure who it was, but we, okay, there are rumors and noises from the family of Silas that on his father's side, that it was with the complicity of the local sheriff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The move was made against my great uncle for the same reason that the move was made 3 years later against the farmers, the sharecroppers, and the landowners. White economic envy and a political will to crush black independence. Which we also see in Tulsa.
Yes.
But it was much more difficult to cover it up in Elaine. Why? Because federal troops were sent to suppress what they called a riot by the sharecroppers, by the farmers, by the landowners. 500 U.S. military soldiers were sent in to shoot us down there. Now, no white was held to account, but 12 black farmers were arrested, convicted, tortured, coerced, electrocuted, forced into what you call false confessions, to turn against each other. And, of course, they were sentenced to death. And we won. We won because of Ida B. Wells, because of Walter White of the NAACP at the time, because of a black lawyer called Sepio Jones. They argued in a national campaign that there was a precedent called Moore versus Dempsey, a Supreme Court decision, saying that there could be no fair trial in a mob-like atmosphere. And that's how we obtained that victory back in 1919. But the torture that was practiced, oral historians have found accounts of children and women being placed in tin barrels, pierced with small holes, and dumped into the local river.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm still learning. I'm still learning. What I'm learning is about a lot of suppression. We have to dig up a lot of facts because the campaign to prevent these facts from surfacing a century later is still active. And lucrative, because it means less reparations. Just go so far to say that massacres like Buffalo and Uvalde, but especially Uvalde, where children again were massacred. Again, I remember the role of the sheriff in my uncle's lynching. I remember the corruption of the police in Philly, in Mumia's case. I remember the inaction of the police around Robb Elementary down in Uvalde, and the fact that one of the mothers had to fight the police to save her sons. And what do I say to myself? I say to myself, we have to link up with those children as well. So I reached out to the fierce Madre down in Uvalde, and I'm in touch with them now. Would you believe it? The mother, she's young, who fought the police to save her sons in that classroom, is afraid for her life today? I mean,
Wow.
So the meaning of these children coming in front of the UN to with their banner to free Mumia, they are the survivors of genocide embodied. They are our hope, our future, the children we have to save from militarized schools and school otherwise. As often as I can, on Sundays, I speak to the children in Elaine. I teach them about Mumia. Whatever they need to know, I have time for them, because the alternative for them is to be bused to a militarized school where teachers have to resist the quote-unquote offer of being armed, of being carrying weapons. So we have to give these children alternatives. And I mean, when I say have to, it's not an imperative, but it's, how can I say it? It's an antidote against genocide to do it.
Yes.
And it's not save the children. It's not a silly thing like that, right?
Right.
It's not sentimental. It's downright nitty-gritty resistance against what they're doing to us. And being an abolitionist is not only saving prisoners like Mumia, it's preventing children from going to prison or to prison-like schools. So, yeah, it all fits. It all connects. Come to tell you that okay, let me give you the good news first and then the bad news. Okay. Or would you like it the other way around? Anyway, the good news is a few of us got an appointment with the United Nations, and they told us that unbeknownst to us, they had already met around Mumia after the 26th of October.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying very close to attention to what's happening. And when we met with them, they told us what they had in mind and what they are working on. And that's all I can say now, of course, you can understand.
Yes.
But they are at work just as we all are. That's what I'd like to say. And that's good news.
Yes.
The other news is, of course, we're, you know, Sister Phile, and I know Brother Jaleel knows it too, we're at times where people feel numb, anesthetized. There's too much happening, too many, how do you call them, left curves, too much pain. The pain comes daily. So we protect ourselves. We grow numb. And we don't measure the importance of what's happening to us because we prefer to put on these blinders. Because it hurts too much.
Yes.
So when I sent out the fundraising letter, it only brought in 1/3 of the funds needed. I'm going to send it out again. So we really, really need funds to get the children to New York City because they paid out of pocket for the plane tickets, but they, in other words, they borrowed for the plane tickets. Now, here's the reality, and you can see this on YouTube if you look up videos on Today's Elaine. After land was robbed from them in 1919, Elaine became like a backwater. It looked so depressed.
Mm-hmm.
If you see those streets, it's like a ghost town. They are very poor. The school the kids are bussed out to is quite far out, and so that means the kids can't do sports because the bus hours are not such that the bus can wait for them. So these are kids who are normal kids, but they can't do any sports. So the loss of land impacts towns like Elaine, but not only Elaine, throughout the South to this very day, in terms of poverty. I'll just give you one other example, because I could talk all night about this. When I teach the kids via Zoom on Sundays in Elaine, like I'm from Europe and they're in Elaine, the audio is so bad. I can hardly decipher what the kids are telling.
Mm-hmm.
And the image is frozen. And you know what that made me think of? It was pretty awful. Made me think of the report that was issued after the Uvalde mass shooting, was said that it was the lack of functioning Wi-Fi in the school that was one of the causes of the dysfunction. Of course, that was pointing the finger away from the police.
Yes.
But it was true that there was dysfunction of Wi-Fi. Rural, backwater, disfavored, black or Hispanic towns. The attitude is they don't deserve Wi-Fi. They don't deserve to be connected to the world.
Wow.
So there's so many echoes of the past that we're living today. Yeah. So do you want me to give you where there can be a contribution through PayPal?
Yes. Absolutely. And then we're going to open up the mic for everyone if you have a question or a comment. But definitely, Sister Julia, please let folks know, you know, and we'll put it in the chat as well. And we also have folks on our blog, and we have people that are listening via internet. We can't see them, but we do have folks listening via internet on our regular blog, okay, but they can hear us, okay, so yes, so please give out that information, and then we're going to go to some of our family if you have a question or a comment for Sister Julia or for Sister Jackie, but Sister Julia, yes, please give the PayPal information, and again, family, we want to give the children, now Sister Jackie will share, Sister Julia and Sister Jackie has, of course, made a wonderful day for the children, which we'll also tell you about. Sister Jackie's going to be hosting them for a day and do some activities. But for now, Sister Julia, please give the PayPal information.
You go to paypal.com. That's capital P-A-Y, capital P-A-L.com. And you type at Elaine Legacy Center, all in one word, in small letters, in the search bar. Again, you type at Elaine Legacy Center, all in one word, and in small letters, into the search bar, and you donate. Preferred because the date is almost here, but if you want to send a check, could you connect with Sister Philae?
Yeah.
Would that be an option?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, family, you know that you can reach us via email at nationalmwm@aol.com. And we can also provide for you a Cash App as well if you'd like to do that.
Right. That's wonderful. And on the Friday, Spirit Child will take the children to see the Statue of Liberty, because we want the children to learn about Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, family, listen, let's do this briefly, and then we're going to go to Sister Jackie real quick and just get an overview of what the children are going to be doing when they come in as far as just enjoying the day and having some activities. But we're going to open up the mic for you all. Blog, if you're interested in a question or a comment, you can just press 1, and Sister Julie can hear you. The way we have it set up, she can hear you. She can't see you, but she can hear you. Again, for our blog family, just press 1 now, and we certainly will open up your mic. And let's see, we have 1 for that. Okay, caller, we're coming to you at 9462. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment, A New Day.
Can you hear me?
Well, sort of. You're low.
Okay, I can't do anything about that at the moment, so I pass and come back to the team.
All right, my sister. Yeah, it's a low volume.
Yes. Come back to me.
Okay, we'll do. All right, thank you. Okay, let's
thank
go to caller. Thank you. Let's go to caller at 2274. 2274, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment, A New Day.
Okay, hostess and greetings to all of you wonderful sisters for the work that you've been doing for our community for decades.
Hey, Brother Adrian. Hey, Brother Adrian's calling in from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey, Brother Adrian.
I'm doing better than great, even though Southern University lost, but still HBCU are now on the map to help more, generate more income in athletics. And the work that you ladies are doing is very, very important because you're trying to reach the next generation. And what people have to understand that as you get older, as you reach over 40 and getting close to 50 years old, we have to be able to reach the next generation so our work won't be in vain. A lot of the inventions, a lot of the legacy, a lot of the principles, a lot of what we built to keep me encouraged and to keep me inspired and the historical references that I can use were built because individuals thought past that day-to-day stuff and they were able to look to the next generation and generations after them. So I'm very happy to hear that some older women are able to reach the next generation, and us as black men, more of us need to get on board and assist with the process.
Oh, Brother Adrian, Ashe.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Brother Adrian, when is your next radio program?
I'm going to be doing commentaries, but she was on the Community Defender. That was out of Lafayette, Louisiana. They replayed that program several times. That was on an African open access channel, I believe on channel 5 in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I will be doing another one coming up soon, and I'm going to still be dealing with the same topic, so-called choose control of black leadership, because for us to be able to be free, we can't be the exclusive property of other communities. So I'm going to be doing and getting back with the producers and the normal host pretty soon. So pretty soon I will be doing it, and I should be invited back to host again before the year is out.
Okay, great. My point for asking is I'd like to make arrangements to get Sister Julia and some of the other family on, you know, to make sure that we continue. We want to continue to work with the children. Of course,
yeah.
Annie Lane, and again, family, they're coming to New York. They're coming to New York this weekend, next weekend, rather, coming, of course, to support Mumia Abu-Jamal and to free all of our political prisoners. But this just connects the dots. As Sister Julia mentioned, genocide, 400-plus years, but looking at it up close and personal, these are the children of loved ones who were murdered in Elaine in 1919. And so we're hoping to be able in the future to really, what we want to do is build a war chest so that we can finance and fund our own research, because we need to educate our people about Elaine and the other Red Summer murders of our people, which, of course, was genocide. And this is part
yeah.
of what we're talking about and doing. So again, Brother Adrian, you know, we're going to stay in touch anyway, but I want to make sure that you know, because you're there in Baton Rouge and you're working with our We Charge Genocide 21 project, and I want to just make sure that you're connecting with Sister Julia and others so that we can continue fighting. The black farmers must have justice. The towns,
yes.
the villages, and the communities that were killed off, murdered, they must have justice. And that's a part of our We Charge Genocide 21. And, of course, with Sister Julia having a relative, a loved one who was literally lynched. I don't know if you heard her talk about that earlier, but her great uncle was literally lynched, you know, there.
And it was legal at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was legal at the time. That's the problem. A lot of us with our partner is that it was legal at the time, which means it was okay in American society. So along with changing law and organizing, we have to make sure that this is on the forefront of the American mind, that our people being murdered shouldn't be legal, meaning it shouldn't be normal, meaning it shouldn't just be justified and pushed up under the rug. And the only way it's going to be done is by us, not us trying to defend people like Jerry Jones, who as a 15-year-old kid, I was just justified. If that's true, fine. There's no need for us as a community, with all the problems and all the situations and all the atrocities that black people go through, we don't need to try to define what is anti-Semitic. We need to try to define what is anti-black, because our people are being murdered on record, on camera, and it's always justified. And if it's not legal, people will say, well, we don't know what happened 2 minutes before they started the recorder. We need to organize in such a fashion to let people know that we're not going to tolerate anything. And when the Hebrew Israelites came out for Kyrie Irving, that was a good message to let people know that we're going to catch each other's back. That's why Grandmaster Jay is facing federal charges, because he was trying to educate black people that it was legal to carry guns, to be able to defend yourself, your family, and your property. And we need to be aware of those things. So when I listen to some of my people say in 2022, racism is not as much of a problem as it was in years past in 1955, that shows right there we got to educate our own people. And like you just said, Empress, we got to finance our own war chest to educate our own people, because there's some of us who think racism doesn't exist. And racism and genocide and white supremacy systematically still does matter.
Ashe, ashe. Thank you, Brother Adrian. All right. Oh, my goodness. We have in the house our elder. I see Professor James Small is in the house, family. All right. Greetings, Professor James Small. How are you this evening?
I'm good, Queen. How are you doing?
Oh.
Listening and enjoying and learning.
You sound like Baba Neely Fuller, always learning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for joining us. As you can see, we have our sister Julia Wright. She's calling in from Europe. And we were talking about the children, so we're hoping that you'll be able to say a few words when we come to the UN. We'll be outside of the building over at the church center. But the whole idea is to, you know, Mumia's next court date is December 6th. So Sister Julia did convey to us, she couldn't go into details, but she did say that UN representatives are watching. So they are aware of Mumia's case, and Sister Julia indicated that, you know, they are watching, paying attention. So we're going to be in New York. Some of the children will be joining us from Elaine, Arkansas. And these are, of course, descendants of some of the people, some of our people who were murdered in 1919. So I just want to give you that little recap because I saw you just came in. So just Sister Julia, I don't know if you are familiar with Dr. Small, Professor Small.
I'm very impressed and humbled that I've heard of you. I'm not an academic, okay, but my father wasn't either. So I'm just impressed with academics who are also radical, because it's so easy to be you know.
Well,
what,
Junior, I think of myself as a radical who became an academic.
Yes. thank you. Yes, so I'm humbled that you join our cause with such sincerity and that you are driven by it. We need people like you inside the fortress because, unfortunately, Ivy League is a fortress that has been weaponized against us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But people like you who dare to tell the truth, you're the one that is the weapon that can make it back up. You see, when people decide that we will stand for justice no matter what, the price of freedom, Malcolm said, is death, period.
Yes.
And that's how we should live.
Yes. Yes.
I just wanted to add one thing real quick because Brother Adrian mentioned about legal lynching. And as we were doing research and preparing for a few presentations, you know, everyone, I'm sure you realize that it is just recently that a bill was passed to make lynching illegal. It was just this year, family, just this year, that it is now considered illegal to lynch. What are your thoughts about that?
Are you speaking about the Emmett Till bill?
Yes.
Passed by Biden?
Yes.
Okay.
But the point is, here we are in the 21st century, and yet, you know, other people can get bills passed within a year or two. And here we are, you know, 400 years. So I just wanted to point that out. And there's one other thing I wanted to make too, and I'm sure a few folks, if not everyone, is aware of this. You know, we've talked about 1919, the Red Summer. Of course, we've often talked about Tulsa, now Elaine, and there's certainly others, Rosewood and others. But again, as we proceed with the Recharge Genocide 21 project, we also are familiar, of course, with New York, with Seneca Village, which was a black village that ended up being, Central Park, that they took from our people. But there's so many others that we've learned, and even three that we now know is underground, or shall I say underwater. There's three that we know of that literally were, in fact, black towns that now is underwater. Even the buildings, the schoolhouse, the bank house is underground. They build a lake over towns. This is how vicious this system is. And we have to be real clear about that. So, you know, again, any thoughts or comments about the realities? And Sister Julia mentioned it earlier about how they intentionally attempt to hide the truth. Well, not attempt. They do it quite well. But again, fortunately, you know, with technology and just the tenacity of our people, we are now able to uncover or discover or reacquaint ourselves with some of these things. What are your thoughts about that, family?
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
We know we've been at war before they took us from the continent of Africa. The war has been a race war, an economic war, and a cultural war. Forget about political. And the genocide, like I try now never to mention slavery without adding this process of genocide.
Yes.
Slavery in itself was genocide. What we are calling Jim Crow, which is a pretty way of talking about genocide. And so I'm so happy that you're dealing with the genocide project because we have to deal with the fact that it is a state-sponsored genocide that against the African peoples and North America particularly. It has been rationalized by the Supreme Court and laws from its inception. And state courts and city courts have supported the process of genocide against black people as being legal. now it continues by the corporate and educational institutions that the state empowered with its law to practice genocide against our people. And so we have to be very clear. This is not, it wasn't genocide yesterday. It is genocide now because we are suffering the results of the genocide of yesteryear. And it's still being enforced by the social contract that exists in every city in America. It's still being enforced by the unions that control the educational system in America, that can socialize a population to the degree they become so self-destructive that they will kill more of one another out of self-hate than was killed even during slavery in any given year. And so we just have to be clear about what we're up against.
Wow.
And you can't have even those who declare themselves our false friends, our northern liberal friends, who have done more to derail the black liberation movement than even the enemy that we're going up against directly. So let's be clear who our enemies are and who our true friends are. And in most instances, the only friend we have is ourselves.
Okay.
And a knowledge of history to inform us on how to behave next.
Ashe. You know, Baba, we had Brother Jalil was on earlier, and he was talking about an event that he's having on, or he and others are having on Tuesday, and it focuses on the 13th Amendment. And again, that is one of the We Charge Genocide platforms is, you know, people often do not know that slavery or enslavement is still legal under the 13th Amendment to this day.
Mm-hmm.
If you read it, it clearly tells you that slavery is abolished. I'm paraphrasing, of course, slavery is abolished with the exception of being incarcerated in prison. And so we now also know that we're dealing with labor, again, another form of enslavement, this labor, you know, and these are the things we have to now bring forward and make sure that our people understand that modern day genocide is amongst us. And certainly when we look at environmental racism, when we look at, of course, mass incarceration, all these things are a form of ethnic cleansing and, of course, modern-day genocide. So we're looking at the 400-plus years in terms of the very obvious, but we're also now making certain that people understand the new types or the more sophisticated type of crimes against humanity. And with that, make sure that we educate and prepare accordingly. Let me see. Hey, Sister Gwen, I see that you're in. I just wanted to greet you. Again, that's one of Mumia's staunch supporters from the New York area. So I just wanted to greetings to you, Sister Gwen. And who else do I see in queue? I want to go, Sister Jackie, are you still there? I want to go to you for a few moments. Could you just tell us about a little bit about what you're going to be doing with the children when they come in on Thursday?
Sure. Well, for those of you who aren't here, what I have is a John Lumia preface. This is about 18 feet tall. And so this particular preface has gone on various marches, been at demonstrations, and we keep them in Brooklyn. So Mama Julia asked, you know, what can the children do? Or I call them young adults too, while they're here on Thursday. And I thought, what am I doing? I know that I'm dealing with the puppet. So they're going to be brought into Gowanus, Brooklyn, and we're doing maintenance on the puppet. So we're talking about we're going to have them doing some paper mache, some painting. They're going to see us erect it. And it's really a hands-on experience. I call it, it's an extremely empowering experience. Puppetry is a maker skill. You understand what I'm saying? The puppet itself is made, but they'll get a chance to see the process of it the power of puppetry. Puppetry is not just something where you just see on TV to sort of like entertain and for children. It's much more powerful than that, especially when you see it dealing with activism. And on Saturday, some of the children may even hold Lumia's fist, the puppet's fist, and we're probably two of the puppets that we have on Lumia. So I think they're going to be very excited. I think I know that this is something they have never, ever done before, and we're really looking forward to it. After that, we're going to take them to dinner, and if time allows, then probably a little bit of 42nd Street, some other stuff. But it's really, we are embracing them. We are loving them. How I identify with them is that my grandfather came from Valdosta, Georgia, and he was part of the Garveyites, okay? And what he vowed is never to go back to Georgia, because he witnessed the lynching of a pregnant mother whose baby was cut out of her. You understand? So that traumatized him. And I know these children are very powerful vessels and beings, and they still are traumatized. Epigenetics. It carries through from generation to generation.
Yes.
You understand? So what I can do as a sister, a motherly figure, is I can embrace them and I can help them and do whatever they need and whatever Mama Julia asks for me, because I'm here to support them and to give them love and to say, you know, you got it, you know, you, this puppet's got you, and we love you and we are welcoming you, and, you know, that's it. I'm here, I'm there for you. I really am.
Ah, Shay, thank you so much, Sister Jacqueline. All right, so that gives you a general idea of some of what's getting ready to happen. And again, even though next Saturday, and by the way, next Saturday is International Human Rights Day, and so that's why we selected that day, because we want to make sure that we tap into that energy and that whole, you know, capability of reaching people on that day, because we're going to live stream it. We're not going to be out there long, but we will live stream it so that it can be seen after we're there. And you know, again, we will make our point. We will make our statement. This is a people's indictment of COINTELPRO. That's one of the reasons why we're there, to put on record that we are issuing our indictment against COINTELPRO. And with that, the demand for the release of all of our political prisoners. We want this on the record, and we want to be able to educate more of our people about the horrors that have happened to our people, you know, particularly under the FBI, Hoover, starting with the Honorable Marcus Garvey. We can go back to that era and bring it up to present day, how we're still being infiltrated. Many of our groups and organizations today, particularly those that talk about Black liberation, self-determination, best believe they are going through an infiltration. And so we have to make sure that people are aware of the new types of sabotage and other things. Before, they were planted in and letters were sent or read or sent in that were forged to make it seem like groups and organizations were sending these types of things to one another. Well, nowadays, it's even more sophisticated, more in-depth. And so we want to share some of what we've learned that has happened even over the past few years with the type of agent provocateurism that now exists in some of our groups and organizations, just so that people are more aware and more cognizant and more watchful, so that we don't repeat some of the things that have already happened, or at least attempt to lessen it. So listen, let's go to our blog. I know you all can't see the blog, but we are on blog also, and people are listening through the blog, both on the podcast and through our live stream that's on the internet. I'm going to go to the family there. Brother Adrian, you're still with us. Your mic is still open, so I just want you to know that. And I'm going to go to the blog for a moment. And family, if you have a question or a comment, you can press 1 now because we can hear you. We can't see you, but we can certainly hear you. You can press 1 and we can bring you into the conversation. I'm going to go back to Mama Condi real quick. She was trying to get in and something was going on with her mic. So let's see if she was able to correct that. Mama Condi, can you hear me?
Yes, sweetie. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We certainly can. And you're calling in from the Ohio area, correct?
Yes.
All right. You have a question or a comment?
Yes. First, I'd like to apologize. I had to go to the show. And it's down the hall, so I didn't think you'd be able to hear me. Usually I don't get caught, but this elder got caught this time. Greetings, everyone. Special greeting to my big brother, Jalil Muntakin. It's so good to hear your voice. I wanted to let you know that when you inhale, my lungs swell with air. And to the elder mama, Julia Wright, I want to thank you. Thank you for everything you do and especially your writings. They have inspired me and your dad's writings have inspired me. I am really excited about this particular collective that is on this call, even if I don't call you by name. I thank you for what y'all do and who you are. And I smile and cry because y'all stand on my shoulders. I'm an elder now, and I can't do as much as I used to in our people's struggle. But I am still here and I am still fighting and my mind is still clear. Strategy mode at this point, and offer anything that I can do and share, I appreciate. And lastly, Dr. Small. This is a humbling call. You get mad props for like for this one. This is a really humbling call, especially when you go back so far and you see the warriors that were standing beside you in the 50s and the 60s, and they're still standing beside you. And I am humbled, I am grateful, I am honored, and I yield.
Thank you, Mama Condi. I would be remiss if I did not share that you and our brother Mumia, of course, were in the Black Panther Party together here in Philadelphia, just so you all kind of know a little history about her. She's also a member of the Republic of New Africa, has been for several years now, was also an assistant to Queen Mother Moore. And I could go on and on, but that just gives you a little idea of who Mama Condi is.
Thank you.
Yes. Professor Small wanted to make a comment. Go ahead, Baba.
I'm just happy to hear my sister, and we know that this is about freedom. And every time I see the great warrior queen, you know, who have been here, people don't understand how long. People says, I just learned about you. And I go, I've been out here like 64 years. So I walked with the Queen Mother Moore. I walked with the Dr. Dent. I walked with them. I walked with Malcolm. I walked with Dr. King. And all we want is to fight for freedom. I never wanted to be, I didn't think anybody would ever know my name ever. I just wanted to do my part. and to be beside the ones who taught us who did their part. The struggle for freedom is eternal.
Yes.
And we have to spend our entire lifetime making sure that the next generation will have a higher level to begin their efforts for struggle. And that's really the message. Mumia sacrificed himself for us.
Yes.
So many Mumias before him and since him, mm-hmm. you know, thank God that Matula's coming home, but we still got Raph locked up and so many fathers along with Mumia that we need to bring home.
Yes.
These are revolutionary soldiers who gave their life, gave their youth on behalf of freedom and this race. And we need to make sure we teach our people that so they never forget. They can't see them just as a mythical kind of name. These people sacrificed their youth.
Mm.
These were babies, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, who've been in the incarcerated system of the demons for 20, 30, 40 years. Because they loved us enough to die for us, freedom or death. And we should never, ever let them be ever forgotten, ever. You know, so I thank my sister. You just even woke up some things in me just thinking about so many years ago when we were trying to get the message out, decades ago, trying to get the message out and trying to be consistent. Consistency is very important in struggle.
Yes, yes.
And Sister Julie, you know, we just love you and just love on you, because I would have been asleep. But when I saw this note that you were on tonight, I said, I got to make sure I get on after all the other things I've been doing. So, because this is about the freedom. And it isn't just the freedom of our race. We are actually caught with the responsibility to protect the human rights of the entire planet. Our struggles have freed so many other people. Even when they don't understand that their freedom came as a result of our struggle for human and civil rights in North America. And we've never said this is just about us. Never in the history of our struggle have we ever said this is just for us and just about us. And that's why I love my people, those who have sacrificed themselves. So we knew we were doing it for all of the world. And we still do that. Human rights comes from the universe itself. And we should never stop struggling until everybody on earth is guaranteed that the human rights protected.
I say. Thank you, Baba. All right, family. Well, as you can all tell, our crew here, our tribe, our family here is a serious bunch. In fact, we say serious as in the stars because we are those children as well. Okay, I'm going to go back to the blog, family on our blog. If you have a question or a comment, you can press 1 now. We can bring you in via through our new way of connecting you. So you can just press 1 and we can bring you in that way on your blog. Okay, let's go back to Sister Julia. Sister Julia, again, with the children. So after we, I need you to give the information as to how folks can donate in helping the children to come and really, really enjoy their visit here. Please give out that information again. You have to unmute, Sister Julia. You have to unmute. There you go. Okay.
You want the fundraising information?
Yes.
Okay. You go to paypal.com. That's capital P-A-Y, capital P-A-L, all in one word, .com. Type Elaine Legacy Center. That's all in one word in small letters into the search bar, and you donate. That's simple. But if you wanted to send a check, I think Sister Filet is open to, would you Sheila, be open to linking up with those who want to send a check?
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, they can reach us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or they can just text me at 267-636-3802, and we will facilitate whatever needs to happen.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. Okay, so we're going to go back to get some closing comments. Wait a minute, Sister Gwen, can you hear me? We want to kind of hear something from you briefly. I don't know if you can hear me, but I see that you are in the house. If you can hear me, you can unmute yourself. Brother Lumumba, did you have a question or a comment? Okay, I guess not. Oh, there he is.
All right. Good thing. Yes, I just wanted to say, there's much appreciation to all of the blood, sweat, and tears, all of the struggles that have been put forth from our ancestors, Sister Julia, Mama Julia. I definitely appreciate, the inspiration and the motivation to keep pushing on and pushing forward, as well as, Professor Smalls. All of the great works, I've read books and watched videos, and does, studies and forums on some of the subject matter that you all cover. And it just greatly appreciated. I just wanted to put that forward and let you know that it is being heard by, the next generation as well. And so hopefully we can, just lift up to some of the inklings of the contributions and the accolades that you all have contributed thus far. So I just wanted to say give thanks and much appreciation.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Okay, so listen, what we're going to do, I see Brother Lee, you are in queue. If you can press 1 now, if that is you, I want to see if we can make some arrangements to get Sister Julia on your radio program. So I'm not sure if that is you. I think that looks like your number. Yep, that is you. So I'm going to open up your mic. And family, this is Brother Lee Robinson from Africa on the Move. And also, of course, the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GP. Hold on one moment. Let me open up his mic. Hey, Brother Lee, is that you?
Hey, Sister Africa. Good evening to you and your audience. Of course, how are you doing? Good.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. What's on your lineup for tomorrow?
Oh, we're just going to do a part 3 dealing with news you can use, and we're just dealing with some current issues that affect our community we're going to discuss, and basically going to be an open topic. So we invite the folks, if they're free tomorrow evening from 7 to 9 p.m., to call in on Africa on the Move at 323-679-0841. So we're going to raise some issues. I think that will be pertinent to our people understanding of, how we can best move forward. So we encourage all supporters, listeners to come and join us. And like always, sister, any guest that you have on your program that's fighting for the liberation of our people, we would love to have them. So, if thinking of just getting in touch with me, let me just leave my number at 804-549-7492. We'd love to have them come forward and share their experiences and work that they are doing. So that'll be no problem.
Well, thank you, Brother Lee. And we got to get you back on, too, to tell us about your recent trip to Cuba, because I haven't really talked to you since you got back.
Yeah, no problem. We can do that. I'll give you a call in a couple of days, and we'll make arrangements.
Okay, great. Give thanks. Give my regards to Brother Haki.
We'll do. So I'm just listening to the program, sister. So, like the brother said, thanks for all that you have done, continue to do, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Ashe. All right. Thank you, Brother Lee.
All right.
Okay, so Sister Jackie, I may have to hook up with you tomorrow to see if I can get you to join me on Brother Lee's program. So I'll call you in the morning about that, so that we can, you know, get some more donations and get the information circulated. All right, family. So listen, we're going to get ready to close out. We have about 15 minutes left. We're going to go now. I guess Sister Gwen couldn't hear me, but she's still in queue. But let me see if there's anyone else in the blog room. Family, if you hear me on our blog, if you have a question or a comment you'd like to share, we're going to open up your mic. You could just press one now. And again, we want to remind everyone, Mumia's next court date, December 16th here in Philadelphia, 13th in Filbert Street. We're asking folks to come in around 8:30, 9 o'clock. They should get started. Oh, Sister Jackie, do you by any chance or Sister Julia have readily available? I can pull it up if I need to. The judge's information, either Facebook or email address, because we want to make sure we get letters to the judge. Okay, that's part of the mission. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Okay. So what I have here, I'm looking on my computer, is a note from, hold on, Revna C here. They don't want, apparently, people contacting the judge directly.
Okay.
But, which is up to, you know, say do what you want to do and do what you need to do, okay? So, because nobody, you know, rules you like that. But I will give you this information. Hold on, I'm just pulling it up here on the computer. Okay, so you can reach lovenotfear@gmail.com. And let me spell that for you. lovenotfear@gmail.com. Okay? So if you write them directly, then they will forward the letter to the judge's chamber.
Okay.
Okay? But like I said, there's free will. Also, you might want to go to their website, which is lovenotfear.com, because there is the horrific film, documentary film about the judge, and it was the Archdiocese, Catholic Archdiocese of Philadelphia, who actually produced this offer, appearing as a liberal, a, you know, victim of what her great-grandfather got lynched. She has three African-American sons, and what is she, restorative justice, yet she's doing this all to Mumia. So there's a lot of issues with this woman, and I have their information. I believe the person you would address this to is Archbishop Perez, and I'm just going to read this off, 222 North 17th Street, Philadelphia, PA 19103, and their number is 215-587-3500. That's 215-587-3500. If the Catholic Church that moves her so much, then you need to write to the Catholic Church, okay, and really get after that immediately. I also have Senator Sharice Street's information. Please feel free to write to him or call him. Do you want me to say all this information?
You can also put it in the chat as well, Sister Jackie, but yes, if you could say it, because the people on blog, they can't see us, they can only hear us, and also the people that are listening via internet on blog, they can only hear us. Also, family, I've just been reminded, we are also streaming on Facebook.
Okay, so send your street information, you can send it to 1621 West Jefferson Street, Philadelphia, PA 19121. That's 1621 West Jefferson Street, Philadelphia, PA 19121. His phone number is 215-227-6161. And definitely Office of the Mayor. I believe your old mayor, because I'm calling from New York, is Tom Wolf. And I think it's Josh Shapiro. Is that correct?
Well, Tom Wolf is governor. Yeah, he's governor.
Okay, Tom Wolf is governor, and Josh Shapiro is coming in. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so You need to contact both of them immediately. The governor's office is 508 Main Street, Capitol Street, Harrisburg, PA. This is what they had. 17-17120. Phone number is 717-987-2500, extension 3. Please write and call the governor every single day or every hour on the hour until the court date or even past the court date, okay? Let me see. These are the main people who I have now. We also include Josh Shapiro in this also. I don't have the judge's chamber information, but I'm sure you can look up the court information and up to you, send something directly to the judge. And I would suggest that you express, it's not so much hostility, but your love and your respect for Mumia. Okay, let her really clearly understand who this man is. And she knows Dummy. But whatever is pulling her, you know, whether it's Rendell, whoever else, FOP, you know, she has to understand. She holds a heavy responsibility, and now she's on the wall of shame. You understand? Wall of shame. Okay, she doesn't do right. So that's it for me for right now.
All right. Give thanks. And one sidebar, one of the reasons why we're contacting Senator Sharif Street is because of the bill. You want to just mention that a bit?
Sure. So I'm interviewing him this Tuesday. It's the, SB 835, which is about,
Compassionate
relief. Okay. What's happening is I was dealing with Mr. Gamble, who just passed away. He's recently released from prison for stage 4 cancer, and he begged. He wanted chemotherapy, but, of course, he couldn't under the old law. So this new bill that Senator Street wants to pass, the thing is it doesn't really include people like Mumia. So what I'm saying is you need to pressure him. Okay, because whether you think Mumia is guilty or not, he has served his time. 40 years is enough. He needs to be let out. Okay, he doesn't need to be let out on compassionate relief when he's at his last wind of life. He needs to be out now. And his health, you understand? Like what we said the other day, he is, 67, which is really like closer to being 87, even though his mind is good. Okay, but he's got to come out. And, I mean, really pressure these people, really pressure them. You put them in office, and they're not going to do anything, take them out of office, okay? Take them out of office. But demand his freedom. Demand it immediately. And same thing with this judge. You know, she's got it voted in, whatever. You know, she doesn't get a pass. No matter what happens, she doesn't get a pass for the 16th, you know, if she dismisses his case. Remember her name. Remember her name. Okay? Hold her accountable.
All right.
And look up her sorority. She's the same sorority that Cicely Tyson was part of. So please write to her sorority, all her work sorority sisters, and let them know who Mumia is. Really put pressure on her.
Okay. And the judge's name, once again.
Lucretia Clemens, Lucretia the Saint, Clemens, okay? So when you see that documentary, which is disgusting, you know, she talked about the Beatitudes, and I was baptized Catholic, right? She's a disgusting woman. She doesn't represent spirituality, doesn't represent Catholicism, and I don't particularly like Catholicism anymore either, but she's horrible. Okay, hold her accountable, and her clerk also, who did the research and wrote the 32-page document. Okay, hold them both accountable.
Ashe. Thank you, Sister Jacqueline. Okay, listen, we're going to get our closing comments from, of course, our Sister Julia Wright, and then we're going to close out, family. We thank you all for tuning into this session of New Day Resurrection Liberation. We want to remind you that starting on the 7th, we will have virtual reparatory justice sessions
And the two for, I think, the 7th and the 8th is really for students, young adults, youth, and parents, for anyone really, but it's geared specifically to them, to introduce them to human rights, what it is, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, what that is. We're literally making certain that our young folks of all ages, college students as well as even junior high, know about reparations, reparatory justice, what it is, who Queen Mother Moore is, who Paul Robeson, William Patterson, we've mentioned them. Of course, there's others that many don't know about. Even with Malcolm X going to talk with the African Union in 1964 and some of the writings in regards to our black human rights. We're going to talk about Dr. Robert Brock, Dr. Yusuf Klee. These are all people who really paved the way, and certainly Mother St. Callie House. Those are some of the topics we're going to be providing for some of our youth, some of our young adults, who we know will be picking up some of the mantles that will have to happen in the future. So again, if you want more information about those sessions on Zoom, it's only 1 hour, 7th and the 8th, I believe it is. You can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can use our Gmail for the National Black Human Rights Project, and it is nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. Okay. Let's go back to our sister Julia and get our closing comments from her for the evening, and then we're going to head on out. Sister Julia, you have the mic.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to point out that the judge in her video said that she lived and worked in terms of her deep respect for peace and reconciliation. And I'm wondering whether she either did not do her homework or has deliberately swept under the carpet the fact that Archbishop Desmond Tutu called for the immediate release of Mumia,
yes,
in 2012 in the name of peace and reconciliation. So I would love for those two, of course, we've lost the Arch, regrettably, but had he been alive, what a conversation those two would have had about their opposing views on peace and reconciliation. The other thing I would like to say is, and Sister Jacqueline so rightly mentioned it, is our concern about Mumia's health, and this is so deliberate. And Sister Filet, of course, has mentioned the very sophistication of their attempts against our lives. They slow down the court procedures using archaic petitions, dilatory appeals. They drag it along. At the same time, they rev up the inhumanity of conditions inside prison so that lives are shortened. And it's being between a hard, did you say a rock and a hard place? Oh, sorry, I may have got that wrong. Right. So, you know, can't win. You're starved, you're fed poison in prison, and in the courts you don't win either. What is Mumia's prognosis? He has congestive heart disease in the community, if you're free and you have access to a cardiac diet, you've got 50% chance of survival within 5 years. However, Mumia is in prison, and interestingly, the prison has chosen this time frame to let it be known that they are denying him his cardiac diet. That means they added insult to the injury of the judge announcing her intent to dismiss. So I want to end on a note of hope. And I've been rereading of late Martin Luther King's Riverside talk in 1967. And I wake up every morning with the thought, it's time to break silence.
Ashe, absolutely. Well, needless to say, family, we are going to continue to do everything that we need to do to fight for Mumia, to fight for all of our political prisoners. As, you know, Professor Small mentioned, Iman Jamil Alamin, of course, Dr. Matula is due. Interestingly enough, Dr. Matula is said to be released on December 16th, which, of course, is the actual day of Mumia's court date as well. Irony, if you think. But the point is, we must continue to fight for those who have stood for us. Again, as Baba mentioned, these are brothers, and there is a sister too, by the way, from a different era, but still was targeted and is incarcerated because of her work. Reverend Joy Powell is a sister political prisoner. We do not mention her as much as we should, and we're going to rectify that as well. But again, we have to begin now to really advance in our work and in our struggle. Our people have been doing incredible things over the years, needless to say. But again, right now, we're in a time period where we've got to up the ante, because they certainly have in all kinds of ways. And we now have got to make certain that we advance the work that has already been done. Our people have made tremendous strides over the years, and now, again, we've got to move forward in a manner that represents what they gave us, what they showed us, and what we now must do today in preparations to also secure the future. With that said, family, we're going to get ready to close out. I'm going to ask our elder to give us a brief prayer, if he would be so kind to do so, to close us out. And we move forward.
We'll make this very brief, because we have our divine, which is the totality of creation itself. And we ask our great ancestors, which was us in another time, to instruct and inform us so that we may be strengthened towards our struggle and fight for freedom and human rights. And we ask this in the name of all of us that have ever lived and the divine itself that gave us this life, that this opportunity for freedom be granted, especially to Mumia right now, so that he may breathe a little freedom in his time on earth.
All right, family. And with that said, we're going to close this session out. We thank you all. You know what we say right about now. We're going to leave you, as we oftentimes greet you, in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. But remember, there can never be any real peace until there is Ma'at. And you know that means justice. So we say, if there's no justice, there's no what, y'all?
No peace.
No peace. With that said, Mumia, I'll boot you all.
Yes.
As of now, the nation's midterm elections are not yet over. But this much is clear. One major political party, shall we call it the Trump Party, suffered from a massive miscalculation. For months, they all but threatened a great red wave, if not a tsunami. What happened was neither red nor truly blue. It was pink. For the elections bore proof of a largely silent presence in American politics, that of women. No polls captured their mass discontent, but this pink flood was unleashed by the summer 2022 release of the Dodd decision, which threw out the precedent of Roe v. Wade. This pink flood was sent out into the voting booths of America because of the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, doing something it has rarely done, taking away a constitutional right that had stood for over half a century. Women quietly and effectively punished the Trumpists who defended the Dodd decision and sent many of them packing. They understood intuitively that politicians, especially male politicians, were poor judges of when or whether a woman should choose when to give birth. Americans are a funny bunch. They take a great deal of guff from their political leaders. But when their rights are stolen, another side emerges. Women marched straight to the polls and pulled a rabbit out of the hat. They refuted history by making a new history. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
Free Mumia now. Peace to you all.
Peace to you.